Hello guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the brand new season of the brand new year of the best tennis podcast out here, Blackspin Global. Hello everyone, you are welcome. I'm your host Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And guys, welcome. Happy new year. New season, who dis? That's what we're doing. Yeah. Eugene, how you been?
I'm good, man. Like, yeah, obviously it's been a long, well, I say long one. It's been a while since we last recorded, basically.
It actually been a very long time, yeah.
Obviously, we've been doing stuff like in between. Mm-hmm. We've had the Australian Open. We had Hayley Baptiste. Shouts out to Hayley. We spoke to her.
Shouts out to her.
I'd say a few days ago now. So, yeah, man, it's good. I'm looking forward to the new season. Like, what about you?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm not gonna lie. You know, the year actually did not start great for me, guys. I had COVID. It was crazy, but you know, I recovered. You know what I mean?
Thank God. God bless.
We thank God. But slowly, gradually. To be honest, my new year starts today, so we're recording on the 1st of February. I literally put my IG story, "Happy New Year, guys," because January does not count. So Happy New Year, everyone, again. Just like you, you know, been so busy with Australian Open, like trying to watch the matches, and you know, the time difference is crazy.
Oh,
so it's not that easy. So thank God that's over. But yeah, man, I'm all good. But I think we actually need to tell our listeners how we're moving now.
True.
Forward,
doing know? Things a little bit different.
Update. Yeah, as you can see, guys, we're here filming, recording. Before we were only audio, but we've decided to now step up into a little bit of like the video, you know, scene. We started first with the Jenkin brothers interview. I can actually say friends of the pod. They are friends of the pod, the Jenkin brothers. But we just felt like it's a nice interactive way to do the podcast. And even the way we're doing it, we really want it to be more of like an interactive thing, and you guys can join through the conversation as well, whether it's on social media or in the comments and so on. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm very excited, definitely. And obviously it's big, it's like big praise to you as well, Lucy, because you've been pretty much like saying we should have been doing this for a while. So I'm glad we can finally say
we've
embraced the video side of things. So yeah, man, looking forward to like putting out more content, not just with the pod, but like in general with interviews and just great content. And like you said, getting the followers involved more as well, which I think is really important
just
for like interaction. Yeah. So man, I'm looking forward to like what's coming this year. Very exciting. So I think we should just get on with the show, like, because we've got a lot to talk about.
We really do. Like, tennis has been busy. Like, it's so crazy how sometimes there'll be no tournaments or just the beginning, and it's just like crazy.
It's mad. And before we start, actually, guys, I do want to say this rundown was actually done by Lucy. So again, like, I was taken aback by like how, I mean, it's pretty much like a rundown I would do, but I'd say probably more detailed and with a lot more opinion. So. So I'm looking,
but that's why whenever, because in case you guys didn't know, Eugene's the one who basically like the head honcho. He's doing the rundown and everything. So when I said, okay, let me do it this time, a lot of it, obviously, I took out, you know, the ones that you were doing as well. So in my head, I was thinking, this is not detailed. But I was like, because I was even waffling. And I was like, yeah, we can do that, innit? Like, quickly. Like, I wasn't like, whereas when Eugene writes it, it's all professional and everything. This is why the post, the actual feed post, guys, is not my responsibility, because I can't do the work that Eugene does. For the mess, I'm in it.
Nah, stop it. And on that as well, the story, the IG stories, again, Lucy takes all the credit for that. So I love the content. Like, it's just, it's funny, witty, like, and it's different. But it also, it like shows personality as well, which I think is really important and much needed.
Which is what,
So yeah, there'll be a lot more of that coming. So keep that coming.
So you guys can get to know us. We're out here giving you guys content, but you probably don't really know who we are. Oh, and one more thing. Happy Black History Month to our American listeners.
True story.
You know how it is. We celebrate Black History January to January, every single day. So we're with you. Hope you guys have a great month, you know, celebrating Black excellence like we do. And yeah.
Well said.
So, should we get a crack it?
Let's go.
Now, This is Black Spin Global, meaning we are celebrating Black excellence in tennis. Unfortunately, tennis is a very, you know, huge sport. So we have to talk about everyone else. We're not going to stay too long into this topic because, to be honest, it was the biggest topic of the year, not even just in tennis, but in sport, in politics, in health, in everything, basically. People who were not even in tennis were literally talking about this, which is, of course, Novak Djokovic and his whole incident. Now, we don't need to go into the details because you know, everyone knows how it went on. So let's just like get into it. But Eugene, I actually really, because funny enough, you and I didn't, we briefly spoke about, see, this is how much we only care about Black people, because we literally briefly spoke about it, like between each other. Like, obviously, I was tweeting about it a lot, you know, making fun of him, blah, 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 ha, ha, and hoping that, you know, he doesn't actually, you know, play. No offense to the Black Djokovic fans, but I want to get your input. I want to get your opinion, like, how did you feel about the whole thing? Like, even before, during, and also when they told, like, when they announced that, you know, he's not going to be playing
anymore. So, like you said, we didn't want to spend too long on it. But, yeah, when it was all kind of happening, I was like, you know what? There's no way he's not going to play because he's the world number one, like, just who he is. And I just thought, yeah, they're going to grant some kind of exemption. And it looked like that was the case. Until obviously, and honestly, Lucy, I wasn't actually that fussed. Like, I know that might sound a bit weird, but like, either way, I wasn't really that bothered if he did play or didn't. And like, I kind of was siding on the kind of, opinion. I was of the opinion that he should play. I know it wouldn't have been a good look because, I mean, what, 90%+ of the guys like in the top 100 are vaccinated.
Yeah,
and that's like well documented, and yeah, he has his views and opinions as to why he is against like vaccines, which again he's more than entitled to, and like I think for that reason, like I was kind of, I don't know, I was obviously, and we're not really in a position as well to like tell people what to do with this whole vaccine thing, but we've been living in this pandemic for what, 2 years now, like, and you know the way to get out of it is to be vaccinated and like we can try to get back to some form of normality. In saying all of that, obviously, like I said, Djokovic has his views and opinions. Australia, they've been through it too in terms of as a country, like they were under strict like lockdown restrictions, and I wasn't really aware of like how their borders work in terms of like how strict they are. This whole episode of Djokovic has like been an eye-opener for me because I'm like, wow, okay, like they really don't mess around like when it comes to their borders. But like to kind of give you, like to sum it all up for me, like when when he posted that picture or the video, not picture, the picture, sorry, of him about to board a flight to say, oh yeah, I've been basically given exemption and I'll be playing at this year's Australian Open, like look forward to seeing all the fans and blah blah blah, I thought to myself, like it's not a great look, like after everything that's kind of happened since then. And like, yeah, just to kind of round everything up, like when he was in the country and he was like being held in that hotel again, I thought this is really surreal because this is like a global, like he's a star in terms of like, not just in tennis, but like he's a well-known, number one. Like I don't want to say celebrity, but he's a person people know around the world, not just in tennis. So the fact that like he can be treated like just, you know, any other citizen, like by the Australian authorities, I was like, wow, okay, this is a serious thing.
They're not
like,
playing.
Yeah, and like to kind of, obviously we all know in the end he was thrown out of the country. I just thought the whole thing was quite sad, really and truly, like, and it didn't need to really get to this point because if he was vaccinated, he would have been able to play. So, I mean, I think that's what it really boils down to. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I wasn't like enjoying like all the jokes and stuff. Like, obviously, people were saying,
really? the banter was 20 out of 10. The banter was 20 out of 10.
No, because for me, it just kind of like it shone tennis like in a bad light. Like, and I thought to myself, if this is what people are going to associate tennis with, like it's not great. But bigger picture, like the guy needs to get vaccinated. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to play tennis. Like France, the French Open's coming up next. Macron's already said that he wants to make like unvaccinated people, the people that are unvaccinated, he wants to make their lives hell. Like, I mean, that doesn't bode well for someone like Novak. And like, I think most like countries now, they're going to basically require you to be vaccinated. So I don't really know how that's going to look for him going forward. And I just hope there's like some kind of like resolution that's like, yeah, we can kind of get to and just, yeah, basically move forward and just get on with the rest of the year without any kind of distraction. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, that's kind of my, well, they're my thoughts. I don't know if you want to add to that. I know you had a lot to say.
The thing is, I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to repeat what I've been saying on my social, because there's one part that I actually think, which I've not shared a lot, because it came into my mind at kind of at the end of all of this. And you kind of touched on it before when we're talking about it very quickly. But at the beginning, I was thinking, okay, this is my thing. At the beginning, I was thinking the Australian Open really did want to help him to get through, because at the end of the day, people need to, you know how people always say FIFA is a business. Tennis is also a business. And we've been hit the most out of all the other sports, the popular sports, we've probably been hit the most when it comes to the pandemic. So because we're such an international sport, tickets need to sell. And tickets for Australia really do need to sell. So when you have Federer pulling out, Serena pulling out, Venus pulling out, Nadal wasn't sure if he was coming, yeah, especially that he caught COVID literally, right before. You only have Novak left and you're thinking, shit, we're increasing the ticket sales. I think they opened a new arena as well. So we just spent shitloads of money. We need to find a way to at least have one of the big players come in so we can sell them tickets. That's how they've seen it. So I personally think there was that as well. They tried to help behind closed doors. Hence why Craig was like, you didn't see him anywhere. He barely even tweeted when the whole Novak thing was happening, because he knew he was running away from everyone. So I had that first in mind, which is one of the things that I was like, okay. But towards the end, this is going to sound crazy, and this is allegedly, but I really think Novak lied about catching COVID. I do not think this guy actually caught COVID, because think about it. He doesn't only need an exception for Australia Open. Just like you said, he needs an exception for everything else. So how come is it out of like, you know, the best of both worlds, you're unvaccinated and you somehow catch COVID like at the last point where, you know, you can get an exemption for at least 6 months? Because when you catch COVID, your exemption is valid for at least 6 months. Hence why, for example, I can't get the booster till like July, since I caught COVID in January.
Okay.
So him getting it mid end of December, right? And then now he's not just exempt for Australia Open, he's exempt till literally French Open. So even right now, I read an article, he can actually play the French Open as we speak because he caught COVID. Listen, people are faking tests anyhow. We do not condone that type of, you know, thing. Please, guys, don't do that. But when you're one of the richest tennis players, that's easy. You can probably even fake a QR code. Because the very next day where he caught COVID, my guy was gallivanting around. Novak is not stupid. Yeah. He is not stupid enough to catch COVID and then the next day be caught in 4K with COVID because he didn't want to disappoint the interviewer for not going for it. That's bullshit.
The keep interview, yeah.
I forgot about that.
And this is I don't think, and he's also, or his lawyers have said that, yeah, things have kind of been confused there in terms of like the information that was given out, or misinformation, I don't know. That's literally for them to kind of sort out and figure out. But it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't look good on his part. Definitely not.
It doesn't. Definitely it not. Doesn't. I think he underestimated how much people could have known about his going out from the time he caught COVID till now. I generally think he did not realize, raw, people will actually go back. He messed up his own bag.
Check the receipts.
What he should have done was just like Nadal. It's not even that. He should have done just like Nadal. Nadal, how did we know he was in thingy? He did an IG post like a G. he wanted to do like a ha-ha moment, like, ah, you guys were saying I can't play. Look, I got exempt. Of course people are going to pull out receipts and pull out, how come you, fam, people were pulling out documents. People were even pulling out one of his tests or something like that. This is 2022, bro. This is not 2006. The internet is here. People are going to find details. So that is my thing. I think, which to me is really ridiculous. I'm not saying it's true, but I personally think, and the thing is as well, every player, especially big player, when they catch COVID, what do? Make announcement. He caught COVID before. He made an announcement.
I think
that tournament fiasco was even mad. Around that time, that's the time where he actually should have been quiet about catching COVID. Whereas this time, he should even say something. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, I just find it weird. And I feel like it's really like, I've always said, even as much I'm pro-vaccine, I'm pro-vaccine. At the same time, as much as it's annoying, I can understand, you know, how some people just feel like, because even me as someone who's vaccinated, I'm like, bro, I'm vaccinated. Why, for example, when I'm traveling, you ask me for 10,000 documents or I can't travel in certain countries? Because I thought getting vaccinated would make my life easier besides of, you know, being protected. So I get it at the same time, but you can't be the biggest player, one of the faces of men tennis, and refuse to do the one thing that's going to help you do your job, which is winning and playing. You can't play around. Like, I'm so sorry. Take the L and get vaccinated.
I think you make great points, Lucy.
And if you caught COVID twice, you might as well just drink Pfizer at this point, Novak. Like, come on. If you allegedly tested twice, but that's my point on that.
We'll see what happens next. But
we'll see what happens. I think he's playing Dubai, isn't he? Anyways, we don't care about that. This is Black Spain Global. Anyways, let's go. Let's talk about niggas right here. Nah, I mean.
I don't know. But yeah, I just hope.
I don't even know.
I just hope that all gets resolved for his, well, for his benefit and also the benefit of tennis as well. Like, he's the world number one.
Facts.
Like,
maybe facts. That's what I'm saying.
Him playing. So, yeah. I think, yeah, next topic now. Swiftly moving on.
let's just move on. You know, when we're now, okay, so we just spoke about, you know, faces of men tennis. Now let's actually talk about the face of new tennis, which is Naomi Osaka, who returned finally. So, like, I can't describe to you how happy I was to actually see her on my screen.
Same.
Like, I missed her. So she had first the Melbourne
Melbourne warm-up tournaments,
and she reached the semis.
Yeah, and then pulled out.
But she pulled out because of an injury. But she was playing really well.
Playing really, really well, yeah. It was good to see her back,
She was playing really well. And you could see that, you know, she was excited to be back. You can see that she always says that she loves Australia anyways. Australia apparently is like good vibes and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then she actually...
reached the third round.
Third round for the Australian Open. And she unfortunately lost to Anisimova,
which is a very good match.
Yeah, very good match. And she was, Amanda was already fired up because she won Gippsland?
Yeah, the other warm-up tournament, exactly.
Another warm-up tournament. She just won that. So she was already
in,
like,
good form.
Boom, 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 in good form. But I do love the things that, you know, Osaka was saying at the end of that match. And, you know, realizing she has to refocus and do things a little bit differently, because like I said on our IG story, Blackspin Global on Instagram, in case you don't follow us, guys, I think Osaka's finally realizing that now these girls are stepping up when they've seen her as a competitor, which is so interesting, because I feel like even when she was playing more before and was winning, there was still a bit
trying to figure her out.
Trying to figure out. But I feel like now it's like, we're done with you winning. We're going to, you know, try and make you suffer.
And play our best tennis. Yeah.
And play our best. Mm. Because honestly, I'm seeing these girls are actually doing the most. And I'm like, I see you. But what do you think?
Everything you just said is completely agree with. I was just very happy to see her back. And like, yeah, she looks really happy. And like... you can see she's grown, like, as a person as well, which I think is the most important thing. And she's just become much more comfortable with, like, who she is, like, away from tennis.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's, like, the most important thing. Like, And that's going to play into her tennis, and because she's going to be, you know, she's happier off court, coming Facts. Into events, she'll be much more just relaxed, and like she can just mm-hmm. play her normal game. And Osaka's normal game is like literally it's world beating. Like she's one of the best, if not the best, like in women's tennis. When she's playing her best. So mm-hmm. I think it's just a great thing, like you said, for women's tennis to have her back. And I was just really, really happy to see her. And like, yeah, that match against Anisimova, it kind of reminded me a lot of the Leila Fernandez US Open match, like just in terms of like the new generation, like coming up. And Osaka's she's part of that. Like she's what, 23, 24? Like she's young.
23, 24, yeah.
So, but obviously Leila Fernandez is 19 or 20. Anisimova, I think she's 20, 21. So a bit younger.
Yeah.
But like they're all kind of in that kind of age bracket where, yeah, you just look forward to like those rivalries like over the next few years. And I think it's just an exciting time. Like we've said it before, like the WTA in terms of like the up and coming players, like it's very, very exciting. So mm-hmm. I'm very happy to see Osaka back. And she did say as well that she's looking to play like more this year, which I think again is just great for the game. So her ranking has taken a beating. Like I think she's what? I want to say like 80.
She's 88.
Yeah, which is mad.
But she got four slams.
I love the comment. Did you see her comment or listen to her? I think it was after her loss to Anisimova. A journalist basically said, "Oh, like your ranking." I think it was a Japanese journalist said your ranking's going to go down now after this because obviously you've not defended the title. And she basically said that basically she's not fussed about that, and if anything, the players that she meets at like these big events, they should probably be more exactly. Yeah.
And that's what. And do you know what? I love that because I was like, "Talk your shit." Exactly. Yeah. What? And it shows that she's very determined. I think people, because of the whole fiasco from last year, I think people are forgetting the one thing is like Naomi Osaka's a hustler.
Yeah.
Like it was just a moment where her mental health was not at its best. And you can see how when she's talking that she really worked on it because she kept on saying, like every time like one of the journalists trying to like, you know, remind her of something from last year, she always had a good reply in a positive way, which is what I like. Mm. Now that I'm hoping that she's, you know, worked on that a lot more, which it shows that she has. Now I just want her to just crack on and just play. Like, Osaka, I'm on my knees. I need to play more matches. Like, I saw one of her fans, literally, like, someone on Twitter added her and was like, "Hi, Osaka, like, there's this place, like, you know, this tournament, like, in Dubai. Like, we think that, you know, you really like it there, like, the tournament." Like, they're trying to make it seem like she's some, you know, stranger. You're trying to sell her, like, some service or a product or something. But that is how desperate we are. Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, like we miss her on court, and also I feel like it will help her and benefit her a lot, and you know, also let these players know that she's still here, because at the end of the day, she's the only active player at the moment from the young gen. She has four slams, bro. Like, you can't tell her anything.
Barty's coming though for free.
Oh, true. Ash. But at the same time, but Barty, you think about it, she's been in the game for long.
True
Hence
story.
What I'm talking about in terms of like this new gen, which is what I like to focus on. You know, I think we forget that. I literally forget that Barty's been playing for years. Like, years she left and she came back, and you know, she's, you know, which is great and all. But yeah, I really hope for the rest of the season she's playing more matches. If she does that and her mental health, you know, is in much better state and she's still staying positive, mate, we getting more slams this year.
Facts, 100%. I think we should stay with women as well before we do obviously congratulate Barty. But Madison Keys, obviously, she had an amazing run to the quarters.
You know what? I'm gonna let you talk your shit when it comes to Madison Keys, because out of both of us, you've definitely been a bigger Madison Keys stand for me. Like you were even on me, like using Madison Keys, and I was just like,
she's quality, man. And like, yeah, again, mm-hmm. she won her warm-up event as well, leading into the Aussie Open, and that was her first tournament win, I think, since 2019. And again, that week she played incredible. Like, I think it was in Adelaide. So again, high on confidence coming into the Aussie Open.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like she just, pretty much steamrolled her way through. Like, the match that really blew my mind, and again, I wasn't even watching it like fully because I was out, but it was the match against Paula Badosa, the Spaniard. I think she's
the number eight seed.
And yeah, Madison just like blew her off the court. Mm-hmm. I was like to myself, this is the Madison Keys. Like, I know, yeah, like is there, and basically, yeah, when she's playing like that, again, she's a match for anybody. Like, so again, she's someone that she's been quite open about, like, her mental health as well, and like just kind of how things have kind of been tough for her over the past couple of years. Like, she's not been at the top of the game. And yeah, she's been really open and honest about like just how she's basically struggled with things, yeah, like mentally. And again, she has credited Osaka as well for being, you know, quite open about that kind of thing as well. So it's just really good that like these players are now like much more comfortable to kind of speak about that. Whereas before it was like something that they weren't really, yeah, they kind of like kept
at all
hushed, yeah, because they didn't want to be seen to be like weak or, you know, I don't know, not being able to like take pressure. Like, tennis is a very like, it's a very mental sport, which we've said before again.
Facts.
And like, yeah, I think it's a powerful thing now. Players are becoming much more comfortable in like kind of speaking about the struggles like that they face like on a day-to-day basis. But to bring it back to Madison Keys, yeah, I think the match against Barty, I think it was the quarterfinals, wasn't it? Yeah, Barty played just amazing tennis, and like, obviously she went on to win the tournament. So, you know, it's no mean feat losing to Barty, but I think we can be very, very excited to see Madison Keys for the rest of the year. I think she's in a good place, and I think, definitely, again, like, women's tennis is better for that as well in terms of having a solid Madison Keys playing good tennis. So yeah, man, I look forward to seeing more of Madison Keys, and shouts out to Mama Keys as well, liking posts. I see it. So
shout out to, man, her.
We look forward to seeing more Madison Keys in 2022.
No, definitely. I was really happy seeing that a lot of the fans as well, like on Instagram and Twitter, like, you saw a lot of people talking about it and stuff. But also when she was even playing Adelaide, she actually did play against Coco, remember, semis. And it was it was a three sets as well.
Yeah.
So that was, I'm trying to remember if I watched so many matches.
Yeah, that was early in the morning for us. That was an early morning one.
It was, yeah. But how do you feel about Coco and the start of the year coming from Madison to Coco and stuff?
Coco, I think she can be pleased with the year she's had. Like you said, that run to the semi-finals in Adelaide, she played some really good tennis. And that was a tough match for Keys to come through. So obviously, Coco, she's going to be disappointed. I think what round did she go out in the Aussie Open? Was it the second?
I think it was second.
Second round? Correct. I think it was Wang, the Chinese girl, who No.
I need to stop you right there. Wang, I do not want to point fingers. I do not want to say certain things. But how come whenever you see a nigga, you are playing your best tennis? Like, girl, I don't understand. The next match, I think she fumbled. Just right. It happens every single time. I'm sick and tired. Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. The second I saw the draw, I was like, for fuck's sake.
They bring out the best in her.
She's gonna do it. Like,
it was actually the first round. It was the first round. Yeah.
And the thing is do you know what's so funny? I never said it publicly. Like, I always kept it in my head because I was thinking, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just exaggerating. I'm just mad. And then I saw other people tweeting. I was like, I fucking knew it. I was saying it. This girl, I don't know what it is. She has some superpowers. When you see a black person right across her? Like, come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous. I need black female players. I need you guys to wake up when you see Wen. Remember, fight for your ancestors, because she clearly does not want us there. I don't know what it is.
Wang,
if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I don't apologize at the same time, because the numbers are there. The receipts are there. When you see a black person, you're somehow playing your best. But carry on, Eugene. I just had to let that out of my chest, because that was in me for a very long time, and I thought I was going crazy.
Like you said, this is something a lot of people have been saying, like, because obviously she beat Serena in Australia as well. a couple of years ago now. And that was a massive, well, surprise at the time. But again, like,
I remember that match.
It kind of goes back to what we were saying about Osaka. Like, these players, when they play against certain players, they know they have to play to a level, like, where it's like kind of, it's kind of, it's like an out of body experience almost. Like, it's like, where on earth has this tennis been when I've been playing in, I don't know, at WTA 250 somewhere in like Budapest? Do you get me? But soon as they come up against Osaka. Goff, I'd put in that kind of category too, even though she's still 17, like, unbelievable, but she does bring out the best in players, like, because she's a very talented player. I do want to say though, and I think she'd say it herself, she didn't play her best tennis on that day.
Like, no,
she wasn't playing brilliantly. And I think, yeah.
But the way I saw it, it was, to me, I was like, it's the beginning of the season.
No, 100%. There's no need to be worried.
To me, I feel like, it goes two ways. Either you play your best or not your best. And that's completely fine. Yeah. It's literally the first month.
You
have a shitload of small tournaments to do. And she was playing really well before the previous season.
Exactly.
As well,
she's had a good start to the year, like, barring the Aussie Open first round. But into, like you said, reaching the semis in Adelaide before. And
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
There's a lot of momentum from last year too. She had a very solid 2021. So I'm very excited to see what Goff does in 2022.
Honestly, I just really want to take this time to show her some love and support, because I really do feel like people focus too much on the negative when it comes to Coco. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh yeah, she's great, but she should be doing that, but she should be doing this, but she should be doing that. It's like, first of all, what have you been doing? Nothing. That's number one. Number two, I do want to read a very interesting tweet. Shout out to, if I'm correct in this, right, Hump_A_55. And basically someone was chatting crap about Coco, saying that, you know, she's one of the most overhyped player apparently. If I name you some white players, maybe you wouldn't say that, but let's just carry on. And that saying that apparently her biggest achievement was her win against Venus in Wimbledon.
Yeah, that's very insulting. Yeah.
That was very insulting, number one. Number two, there's a lot of women who wish they could even beat one of the Williamses and they still haven't done it. And they've been there longer than Coco anyways. But Hump_A_55 literally replied with, she's the only player 17 or younger in the top 200. And she's top 20. She's won two titles and has two Grand Fours and a Grand Slam quarterfinals and four top 10 wins. 17 years old, don't have resumes like this decade. First of all, drop mic and shout out to him for pointing that out, because that's the thing. It's like, I feel like the issue with tennis as well, I'm not saying winning titles are not important, but when you're not winning titles, to some people it's like you haven't done anything. Yeah, you haven't like a lot of things. Whereas Coco has been working her ass off, has been doing things, and her draws, she's not playing. Most of the time when she's losing against like a more experienced player or a big player. Do you get what I mean? Like, yeah. she still achieves something, and she's only fucking 17, bro. Like, she's not like much older. So I'm never worried about her, because I've always said that she's going to win titles, she's going to win slams. I definitely see it. Another good thing as well is that you can see that her team want her to win, they want her to grind. Like, when you see her dad, like, the way he's so focused during the match, it kind of, I don't want to really do the comparison, but it kind of reminds me a little bit with, you know, the Williams.
No, we can do that comparison all day long.
But you can see, like, you know, like, he was so invested 100%. Whenever they were playing, to a point where the man couldn't even watch them play. Yeah. And with Coco, with her dad, is literally the same thing. You can see that, you know, he really wants her to win. So she's working really hard. And but yeah, I'm looking forward to her for the year. I really hope this year she wins one title so people can shut the fuck up. And prove them wrong, and that's it. It's like, forget whatever they're saying, live your life and play, and then when they chat shit, have your titles ready and stuff. And yeah, man, that's
it. And I think we should just shout out Barty too, like, before we move on to the men. Like, obviously, now she's, I think you said, the only player now to win, along with Serena, in this, well, currently still playing on every surface. So she's won on clay, grass and hard. And yeah, I, 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 honestly, I'm going to hold my hands up. I didn't watch many of her matches. I'm just putting it out there. I didn't watch many people. No, don't say that, Lucy. Don't say that, Lucy. But, like, yeah, I know she's a very talented player. And, like, yeah, again, she's someone, she's very good vibes. Like, she's just a nice person. Mm-hmm. Everyone likes her. And, like, I am happy to see her, you know, do well. And, like, Australia being her home slam, it's nice for her to win.
It was actually a record breaking of people watching that woman's final in Australia. Yeah, I feel like it was like crazy viewers watching.
That's good to hear.
That in Australia,
She won in straight sets. She didn't drop a set all tournament as well. So things like that are special. It's very, very special. Mm-hmm, so shouts out to Barty, 100%. And I know people say, "Oh yeah, it's just wait until the girls figure out how to play against her slice." Like, I don't think it's as easy as that.
But don't you think? Don't you agree with them?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Why do you hate that comment? That's what I want.
Because I mean, she's got more than just a backhand slice. Like, she's a good server. Okay, cool. Like, and like me and you've said this before as well. Like, in conversation, like she can think her way through matches. Like,
yeah,
if things aren't going well, like she has plan B, plan C. Like, she can. Do you get me? She can figure things out, like, as she goes along. Whereas a lot of players don't have that in their game, men or women. They just have one kind of plan. If that doesn't work, and then they're screwed. Whereas she can see she thinks her way through matches, which is, it's a massive kind of, it's a skill. So she's very talented. And, like, I think people need to give her a bit more credit. Like, but like you said, this is a Black Spin Global podcast. So we're gonna keep it all the way black. But no, shouts out to Barty. And to be fair, she's Indigenous. So, you know, she's an Indigenous Australian. We need to acknowledge that. So,
we see you.
indeed. But moving on to the men now, Lucy. I think Lamont.
Oh, actually, no. Before we move to the men. We have Angela, or is it because she's juniors?
Oh, well, juniors, yeah. We can come to them.
We'll, okay. So yeah, we can do
the juniors at the end.
Because I'm. But yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Sorry.
So yes. So moving on to the men now. Gael Monfils. I think we should start there. Like, he's back. Again, another winner in Adelaide as well. I want to say that was his 11th ATP Tour title, which is like.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's something. I know we've got the big three in the whole 21 Grand Slam thing, like, but
they
are, like, literally abnormal, as in Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer. Like, we're not going to get that ever again in men's tennis. So, like, let's just leave that there. But Gael Monfils, he's someone that, I don't want to say he's underachieved, but, like, people expected big things because he was a world number one junior, like, won all the grand, I think he won three of the grand junior Grand Slams anyway as a junior. And yeah, he's been a top 10 player for like a solid amount of years. Like, he's a very, very good player. One thing I liked about him during this Australian Open run was the fact that there was like a killer instinct in him that, like, I'd not really seen, like, in a long time, basically.
And
to see that now at his big age, what, 35, 36? Like, he's still got it, man, and he still wants it. And for me, that's a massive thing as a fan of Lamont. Like, I want to see.
He even said it as well,
and that's what I'm saying. I love that. Like, he still believes. Like, he just needs that one, like you said, that one opportunity, that one chance. Yeah. Like, and I hear that. I really do. I really really do. Again, that match against Berrettini, I watched. I didn't watch all of it, but the parts I did watch, again, it was heartbreaking because. He didn't start greatly, but he kind of played his way into it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it went to a fifth, and then I think by the fifth set he was struggling physically. Like,
yeah. I didn't because I was in the office.
So yeah.
I watched, but then unfortunately by the time it was the fifth set, I had to go into a meeting. And obviously I had Google like on my screen during my meeting. And I could see that, like, it was just going fast, and I was like, Monfils, what are you doing? So in my head, I'm thinking, I had this assumption that probably he just got, there's a lot in his head and he was a bit, you know, like, probably like scared or something. But that match was just, I love a match was like so intense, and you can see that, you know, because the first couple of sets I was thinking, yeah, it's not, But then when, as it was going, I was like, oh my gosh, like for a while, it was actually kind of hard to figure out who the hell was going to win. But yeah, but honestly, besides that, I'm just so, it's so crazy how this time last year, this man was crying, saying he doesn't even know if he's going to like keep on playing. He was talking about feeling like, you know, he's disappointed, like his family and stuff like that. Like he was extremely low. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy how things can change in just a year. Like we're not talking about over that 2 years, literally exactly a year. Like this time Australian Open last year, this man was crying. Like he was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore.
I think it needs to be said as well. He does credit, you know, his wife, Alina.
I was about to say that. Yeah. I was like, you know what? Maybe married life is what it is. So anyways, guys, if you're single, you want to marry me so I can be happy in this life, tell me. Because clearly, Morpheus is out here trying to tell us that married life is what actually going to keep you in a positive state. Maybe being in this jungle is what actually doesn't help. But no, but honestly, shout out to her, man. If she's really like, even when he was playing, and you could see her in the crowd, like she was here, like being like, you know, she was like, you can probably like see that they help each other a lot, probably mentally, and that support. You never know, maybe before he was with her, he didn't really have anyone to speak to about certain things that made him unhappy. And then you find that one person where not only can understand because they basically the same profession as you. It may be slightly different because one is a woman and one is a man. But at the end of the day, you understand it the most when it comes from traveling all the time, being away, you know, your schedule, your team, you know, the comments, you know, for Monfils is even worse because he's black and he's French. You get what I mean? So honestly, I'm just really happy that, just like Osaka, he's in a better mental state and he's just enjoying to play. My biggest hope and wish, just like the other players that we've spoken about, is that he just continues this, like just keep going. And people love seeing this man play as well. Like even people who are not even tennis fans, like when I speak to people who are not tennis fans, Monfils is one of the people that like, they actually mention till this day. So that tells you something. 100%. So, you know, like I love watching him play. He's done so great during the Australian Open. I just love seeing him smile. And, you know, the whole crowd was literally going for him. So, yeah, I just hope he just keeps going.
No, that's exactly it. Like, and I think, like you said, I think now he's in a place now where he feels like he's not back to his best, but like he's ready to compete again, like at the highest level and like compete for the big event. So, yeah, man, long may that continue. We have to speak about the other one. Felix Auger Aliassime. Man, I'm so proud of him, man. Honestly, I'm really, really proud. Honestly, like,
I hands up, I didn't think he'll go that far in Australia Open.
Really?
Honestly, not in a bad way.
He made a start. Yeah, he made a very
slow
start.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I generally did not expect Felix to go. I knew he was going to go, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be out the first two rounds, but to make it all the way to the quarterfinals, I don't know. Which is weird because, you know, last year he did pretty well. You know, he reached pretty far.
I think it was the fourth round. And he was...
Fourth round, yeah.
Yeah, he was two sets to love up against Karatsev. And that's when Karatsev came back. And now we know who Karatsev is. But Felix, like, very similar match to the Monfils-Berrettini match, like, in terms of being a five-setter. But I think with Felix, like, and I said this to you like after the match anyway, like I really feel different about this defeat for him because the level he showed, like, blown away. Like,
and even the attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like normally when Felix plays, he just plays and keep it. This time he was with the crowd, like, yeah.
And not even that, Lucy, cheering, as well. Like at the end, like so when they finished, obviously it went to five sets, as we all know now. Like you can see he was hurt because he knew he could have won that, and Medvedev was like talking to him. I don't know what he was saying, maybe saying, oh, great match or whatever. Like Felix wasn't trying to hear that because in his head he's thinking, you know what, I should have beat you. Like, and I was like, this guy is so ready. Like I can see that in him, and for me that gives mentality. Me so much, like, I don't know, like I'm really infused by that. and I'm excited to see what he does now going forward, because we all know the guy is more than capable. But I think this event, or that match against Medvedev anyway, Medvedev is arguably the best hardcore player like in the game.
Mm-hmm.
We all know he just lost the final, but I think Nadal said it. I think Nadal did say it after beating him. He said, yeah, basically he's the best player in the world really right now. Like, obviously Novak's not here, but yeah, like, we all know Medvedev plays unreal tennis. So for Felix to literally be playing
against the finalists,
and more so, like, he was beating him at his own game, like being solid from the baseline, like, serving big, like, again, he has that in his armor, like, so if he can find that again, he needs that one opportunity, like, in terms of 1 week or 2 weeks at a Grand Slam anyway, for it all to click. Felix is winning one of these one day, 100%, and I'm more confident now than I was this time last year. So Felix, he's in a very good place, and I love what he said after the match as well, just saying how he's always known that he can play to that level, and now it's literally just about maintaining it. So it's over to him now, man. And again, what, 20, he's 20, 21? Like, he's young.
For his age, he's really young,
He's super young, and just a very exciting talent, and I can't wait to see more of him this year.
Yeah, that's how I feel like his maturity really showed. I don't know what he's been doing from off season, but his maturity just literally boosted up. Like, his energy, the way he is, his confidence. It was the first match of his that I felt extremely emotionally invested in, which I rarely, unless your name is Serena Williams. I am not that emotionally invested. Like, no one brings, like, that match, I don't think you understand. Like, it was crazy. Like, I was, the way my reaction was just insane, to a point where, obviously, I was proud of him, but I was so gutted when he lost. To a point where, literally, I just put out my, I put, Eugene,
do not disturb.
As soon as it was done, I put out my laptop, I put my phone on do not disturb. I was in my room in complete silence and I started working. I was like, you know what? Let me just do that. And I can't work in silence. Like, I need either music or a podcast running through the back. Like, that's how much I was invested in. Like, I was not, like, nothing. And then I was like, okay, I'm at peace. And then when I came back, I was showing love and support, because at the end of the day, for him to make it that far and then losing to someone who we, I thought was even going to win the slam anyways, eventually, simply because of, you know, him winning US Open.
He was a top seed.
Him being he was a top seed and everything, So for him to make it that far, to me, is great. Again, another, you know, great accomplishment. And like you said, I really feel like this is a great start. And I know there's a friend of a pod who'll be very happy about his performance, which is Jordan from tennis.com.
Shout out to her. Yeah.
You know, she's always rooting for Felix. She's been rooting for Felix. So I know she was probably very excited, you know, very happy as well about him. And because I remember she said when we interviewed her, I remember she said that whenever she picked him, whenever, like, there's a tournament starting, they said, oh, who's going to win? She always picked him. She said that people always like, why are you picking this guy? Jordan, you can talk your shit. Facts. You can say, look where he was.
And I think she actually picked him for this one as well. I think she was one of...
She picks him for everything.
So, no, definitely shout out to Jordan.
Shout out to her.
But yeah, man, like, it's been a really good event, I think. And obviously, yeah, we all know Nadal. He took it 21st Grand Slam, which is mad. One thing I love about the whole big free thing, in terms of, like, how basically Federer had to go first, he fumbled, then Novak, he fumbled, and now Nadal, his it was his turn and he did it. So
and the one that you thought he wasn't even,
this is the thing, yeah, on his last,
like, I feel like Nadal, every single match, whenever he won, he was like, I was completely destroyed. He was like, I was completely destroyed. What? You know, with his accent and everything. Like, I don't think he really even thought, like, my guy was probably like, let me just go and play some matches. I don't think he really thought that I will make it that far.
He did win the event as well, the warm up event.
The one before. Yeah, the warm up event. Yeah.
Which is like, again.
But even that,
the players he beat, they weren't like top players. So it was like, fair enough. It's still a good look.
Fair enough. Yeah, true. Yeah, but did get a little bit harder afterwards.
100%.
I think he played against, who? Was it Tsitsipas?
In what? In the Aussie?
Right before, in the during the Aussie Open. I know he played with one big player and it was, or was it, no, I think it was Mateo. I can't remember.
He played Shapovalov in the, I want to say the, oh, in, yes, the, in the quarters.
Yeah. So from there, that's when it started. Yeah. You know, that's when the five sets were rolling in. Because before that, it was three sets.
Mm.
After that, it was five sets. And when that was starting, I was like, nah, I don't see Nadal actually going.
What did you make with the whole Shapo thing as well? Because I know you spoke a bit about it.
We spoke a bit about it. But you know how I felt.
I liked it.
You liked him going ham.
In terms of like basically,
you liked him talking about up. The whole privilege, yeah, speaking up about his big three. Okay, great, cool. Now, the reason why I have an issue and I call it bullshit is because these players contribute into the ass kissing. When you mention the big three, they're talking about them as if they're gods. Right? They're talking about it as if they will kiss their toes and literally give them all their money. But when things don't go their way, suddenly is you guys, you're always talking about the big three. Oh, yeah, it's all about them. Like, you're all like, blah, blah, blah. They're all privileged. But it's like, you are contributing to it, my guy. Mm. That is my thing. So that's why I, unfortunately, unless you don't actually kiss their asses, which rarely ever happens, I can't take them seriously when they complain, because I'm just like, bro, you are part of the problems. It's not only I'm not dismissing the fact that, I just said it earlier at the beginning of this pod, they will always, and I've said it so many times, they will always prioritize a big three, because at the end of the day, tickets need to sell.
No, facts.
Money needs to run. So if they say to Craig at the Australian Open, jump, Craig will jump all the way to Mars. Like, it will happen. And that will include the players as well. I'm not saying don't respect the legends, but this is a fucking sport. Be fucking competitive. Do you know how, maybe because I love chaos, but do you know how fun it will be if like the players were talking their shit? Be like, yeah. Nadal's winning, but he's got one leg right now. I don't know if he's gonna make it to the final. You know them type, like, talk your shit. Like, everyone, like, look how footballers talk shit. Look how everyone is like, basketball is like, they're ready to fight, even like on when they're playing. Tennis will even be more intense because think about it, they're not even a fucking team. They're one-on-one.
Individuals,
do you get what I mean? I feel like that's what brings in even more the sport, because I bet he did all that talking and it was like to Nadal, oh, thank you. Oh, I love you. You know, you're the legend. He probably even sent him a message when he won that 21st and was like, oh, yeah, you're the greatest player of all time. After chatting shit. So that is, I'm not saying he was right what he said, but I'm so sorry, ATP players, stop trying shit, like, stop complaining, because you, the very next day or 2 hours before, you were just kissing their asses.
Is it? I hear that.
He contributed to it.
I hear that. I just like the fact that he was, he was just like on some different kind of bullshit. And I was like, you know what, I respect it, man. I know you've just lost, but like, at the same time, the only thing I didn't like was him getting at Carlos Bernardes, the chair umpire. I thought that was a bit mad. Because he said, oh, but you guys are all corrupt or something. I was like, you need to chill.
Corrupt.
You need to chill. And he did apologise, to be fair, after. He said, yeah, he kind of, lost himself a bit in the moment. And
don't care if you apologise, boy.
I think he apologised to Carlos, which is important. But I enjoyed him, like, chatting that shit in the post-match interview. But I hear what you're saying. Like, all the players kind of contribute to this whole, I don't know, all it's like them. I don't even know what to call it, but you can say it's a conspiracy, but it's a thing. It does exist, that there is a privilege for the top guys. Like, and that 100%. is a consequence, like you said, of, you know, everybody kind of buying into it. Oh, big three, like, you have to basically, they're special, like, kind of give them the special treatment. So, yeah, man. Well,
I've always said it, and I'm, you know me, I love Federer with all my heart. But I've always said it, even on this pod and on Twitter, I've always said he also, all of them get, I'm not just saying Nadal. I've always said it. Just because I'm a fan does not mean I won't call them out. Federer also gets special treatment. Nadal gets special treatment. Djokovic gets special treatment. If it was not a player who did what Novak did, for example, at the beginning of this whole thing, mate, it would have been game over.
Yeah, it would have been mad.
It would have been done. Mad. Imagine if it was even a black player. This is why I posted that meme of 50 Cent sleeping.
Yeah,
because our players are out here.
It would have been a wrap.
We are here to play and go home. Because we know, even if we sneeze, it's a problem. So, yeah, man, guys, stop kissing their asses. No. Talk your shit. They're getting old. They're going. So it is what it is. Maybe they don't want to talk too much because they don't have the same. Because to be fair, they can talk shit in the dark and be like, okay, but I have 21 stab. What do you have? So I can get it. But at the same time, that's fun. Do you get what I mean? Like, I want chaos, guys. I like problems. I like chaos. I like all of that. I
appreciate your honesty.
My life is peaceful, but I like entertainment. I
appreciate your honesty. But before we wrap up with the Australian Open, some quick shout outs to some of the juniors. So I do want to shout out first the girls runner up, Sofia Kostolos of Belgium. She's that name does sound Greek. She has got Greek heritage as well. And her dad was a pro footballer. I think he was Belgian, but he has Congolese roots as well, hence why we post about her. But yeah, she finished runner up in the girls event. So shouts out to Sofia Kostolos. But there was history made in the junior event, and also like Grand Slam history. So it was Angela. To be fair, I was ready to claim her before it was confirmed that she was Kenyan, because I was like, hang on a minute, Okotoye, that sounds Nigerian. So this girl, one of us.
No, wait, before you go forward, guys, this is Nigerians to the fullest. They will claim any nigga on earth. A black person. No. I am sure this person's Nigerian. That is them. That is you guys. But to be honest, I don't blame it. It does look like a Yoruba name.
Exactly.
It does look like a Yoruba
name. Thank you.
And
Angela Okotoyi, the first Kenyan girl to record a junior Grand Slam match win. And it says here that she was already the first since 1978 to even compete at a major, which again is massive, like just in terms of global African tennis in general. Like, we don't really have that many. I can't think of many.
No.
The only ones I could really think of are, I think there were a doubles pair, Black, Cara Black and her brother, but they were like white, I think Zimbabwean. But they were really good doubles players, like back in like the early 2000s, late 90s. But I can't really think of any other like black.
But the thing is just like, I think it was even Jermaine who actually was even, or Jermaine, I can't remember, but one of them was talking about, I remember when we had an interview with them and they said at the end of the day, there are actually a lot of them, yeah, we just don't see them.
True.
So that's the thing.
At the
it's
high
like,
level. Yeah.
So there's probably a lot of them playing, like, for example, I told you, this was like off record, I told you like 2 years ago, a year ago, that, you know, someone that I knew from Senegal, when he found out that I was, you know, we had like black spin and all that, he literally sent me a screenshot of his ICF profile. I was like, I used to play like before and stuff. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, right.
That's wild.
That just shows you that, you know, there's actually a lot of these kids playing, but they don't really have a lot of that opportunity, unfortunately.
No, 100%.
To be known like that, so, which sucks.
Because there's been some pictures of her on, well, she returned back home. I think today.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I think. Yeah.
And like, she basically returned to like a hero's welcome. It's so, like, you've got school kids like cheering, holding up their rackets.
Everyone was thinking, even that actress. Oh,
Lupita.
Yeah, what's her name
again? Lupita
Nyong'o,
even
tried.
Yeah. Love
Lupita
that.
Even tried her out. So everyone did.
And
like,
you had the WTA retweeting that as well. Like, this is what I'm saying. I do love that. Like, because we need to see more of it, man. Like, so facts. I hope we do see more of Angela like in the future, and I think we will. Like, I watched her third round. She got to the third round, I did watch that match, and it was a three set defeat in the end. But she's got game. Like, she's got game. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we see more of her going forward. Before we wrap up, we want to talk about the Netflix documentary.
Yes.
I don't know much about this. I did hear that there were cameras following around certain players.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you could fill me in.
You know, for example, the F1 Netflix documentary.
Yeah. I've not watched it, but I've heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either, which everyone says that it's actually, because the thing is, I thought only F1 fans, but everyone keeps on saying, no, it's actually really, really good.
Interesting.
They've actually even had different F1, like different documentaries on F1 drivers. There's one, I can't remember the name, But apparently that one was really good. Oh, speaking of F1, shout out to Quickstop F1. They're also, if you're a Formula One fan and you're black, check them out, guys.
I mean, I posted about them as well.
Yeah, they're really cool. Congrats to them. Just hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube as well. Goals. We love seeing black people winning like this, you know, especially in a white dominated sport.
Facts.
But so that documentary was doing really well. And it's actually, I think there's been stats and comments about how that documentary has actually helped a lot of the F1 sports and stuff in bringing in more fans. To be fair, personally, I've actually seen a lot more people talking about F1 after that documentary, to be honest. I've seen a difference on my TL. So that is why it was exciting, because a lot of us tennis Twitter people were saying, bro, this is what we fucking need. Because I say it all the time, this is why I like focusing on the new gen and the next gen, because the GOATs are great and all, but them niggas getting old, they're gonna leave, and we need people to get into the sport. Do you get what I mean? Like, we need people to, you know, this is one of the reasons why I like doing this thing, because I want people to be like, yo, come and actually watch tennis. If you can watch hours of F1, you can watch hours of tennis too. Do you get what I mean? Like, do you get it? So yeah, so the documentary is basically going to be following some players. They've already started filming from Australia. I'm not too sure on how long they're going to be followed around. Maybe it will be just like Naomi Osaka's one, which is where basically like nearly half a year, if I'm not wrong.
Because that was a three-part thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a 3-4-part thing. Oh, this one's definitely going to be like different parts. I think the F1 one's really like that.
Okay.
But so far, obviously not all, but the players that have been confirmed that we know so far are Tsitsipas, Matteo, Sabalenka, Mrs. Monfils, Zakari, Ons, Fritz, Alex, Team, which is very interesting because Team has not been back yet, and he's even pulled out from another tournament again. Before I continue, who's ever banging Juge on his guy, please forgive him, because it's actually ridiculous. I really do miss him. He's very fun. So speedy recovery to him.
No, indeed.
Monfils, Tiafa, really happy about that. Paul, Kachanov, Brady, Muguruza, Nori, and apparently, oh, I already said Tsitsipas, sorry, but apparently at the beginning it wasn't too sure if Felix was going to be in it, but especially that he reached the quarterfinals.
No, he needs to be, man.
He's 1,000% going to be in. I'll be very surprised if he isn't. So we'll definitely see him. But yeah, there's more other players and stuff, and I'm really looking forward to it. This is a great opportunity for other people to finally get to see the quote-unquote new faces of tennis, and seeing where it's now taking off. Because when you talk to other people, like, you don't get a lot of people knowing some of the new names. So now, for example, people know more about Medvedev because, you know, of the whole Nadal thing. But I'm pretty sure 90%, a lot of the people who don't watch tennis did not know who this guy was till that match. So it's a great exposure for us. I hope they pull this off really well. I hope that, you know, people can see the whole process. I'm really interested to see how, what's it going to be about? Like, are they going to show their whole daily thing, or, you know, how, I don't know. Because I think the F1, I can't really talk so much about the F1, but because there's so many players involved as well, I just really want to know how everything's going to go. But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really, especially that so much has happened during the Australian Open, even minus the Novak thing. Like, I'm talking about the intensity of the matches. Yeah,
some good stories in general.
Like, Chapeau and Medvedev going off the empires. Like, these are the type of shit that people are going to see. Like, you know, chaos that I love. so yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I
really hope that won't be the only one. I hope they do more as well.
I'm just happy to see some black players in there. So obviously Monfils,
facts, that's what I'm saying. TFO. Yeah, Monfils being there, TFO.
It'd be good if we could get like Coco or like Sloane or some others in the WTA.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the thing. Unfortunately, we don't know too much on who
so it's
but
to be
these
confirmed.
Are the, I think some of these names that I even pulled up, even pulled out, are names where we just saw the Netflix cameras and also them taking a picture on the IG story saying, oh, hey, Netflix, and stuff. So that's how we've kind of, like, they haven't even really released who is going to be on it. They've only released a statement saying they're going to be following tennis players from the Australian Open and then moving forward.
Fascinating. Well, yeah, we look forward to seeing how that all plays out.
Definitely.
But I think that's pretty much it, Lucy, isn't it, in terms of your rundown, very detailed rundown.
I did a good job, guys. PayPal me.
You did a very, very good job. But before we wrap up, obviously you've got some events going on right now. So we've got the Tata Open in Pune, India. And we have Elias Immer. He came through qualifying.
Yeah,
he won his first round match on Tuesday, the day we're recording this. So shouts out to him. He's playing his third round match against Aslan Karatsev, the top seed. It should be a good match to kind of watch. So good luck to Elias in Pune. Jay Clark also came through qualifying, but he did lose his first round match, unfortunately. But again, good.
He posted a picture of him like shouting, and his caption was like, "Oh, just me going off at the Empire."
Aww. That's pretty funny. But no, that's a good look for him, because he hasn't played an ATP tour level match since, I want to say, before Wimbledon last year.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while.
Good look for him to come through qualifying. So hopefully he can build on that for the rest of the year. And there's also Montpellier happening this week. So we've had Joe Wilfried get his win again. Long time coming for Joe. Like, he's been out injured. I think he's in with a protected ranking, but he won his first round match earlier today as well. So look forward to seeing more Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Monfils is also playing in Montpellier, so he's the third seed. And he literally plays Mikkel Immer, who just beat Corentin Moutet as we record tonight.
I saw that and I was like...
that's one to look forward to. Mikkel Immer versus Gael Monfils in Montpellier. So, yeah, and then we've got...
Oh, sorry. We didn't really talk about Emma being on a big arena playing against Tsitsipas.
The first round,
It was so, pretty sure he got a lot more people talking about him that match.
Because don't forget, they played each other in the third round last year. And I think that was on, I don't think it was on Rod Laver. It was one of the main show courts. But I don't think it was Rod Laver.
Like on Rod. It was on Rod Laver. For some Margaret reason, Tsitsipas has been nice. Like, he's been in a lot on the big courts.
I mean, he's top five, isn't he? Like,
okay, but listen, Med, for example, he's been on the main. Like, he's seeded number two. He's barely been on the main. But I feel like I kind of know why he didn't.
Why?
He's not there
because of his attitude.
I'm assuming because he's Russian.
Again, something he alluded to. Again, but I don't want to get in too much. That's his problem, man. I'm sorry. I'm joking. But yeah, no, it's been well kind of documented since the final, like how he wasn't feeling the crowd and stuff. But I've got my own kind of thoughts on Medvedev that I'm not really... he's a great tennis player, but I don't like his attitude. Like, yeah.
Fair enough.
It's not a good look. And I think he does get away with a lot. And maybe too much, to be honest.
1,000%.
And I think, yeah, roles reversed. Like, I mean, we all know what I mean by that. Roles reversed. That's not
we already said that it's on our IG.
It's not the same for others. So he needs to clean up his act, man. Definitely. But it's good to see him playing like good tennis, and like it does definitely bring up the level in terms of like look at the match he played against Felix. So yeah, more of that, please. Definitely coming forward.
100%.
But yeah, Lucy, I think unless there's anything else, I think that wraps it. That wraps up this first episode.
I think that's pretty much it, guys. it was nice to have the first pod of the year. I'm really excited for the rest of the season. Now I have to fix up my sleeping pattern for a little bit.
Reacclimatize. It feels like we've been jet-lagged.
Man. I know.
Shouts out to Tamani too, because Tamani, again, friend of the pod, he's literally been in Melbourne covering it for the past month. So he did message me earlier today, actually, I need to reply to him. But yeah, like all the journalists, they do a really, really, it's a tough job. Like, obviously tennis is a great sport, but at the same time,
I'm sorry, being a tennis fan alone is
hard. It's hard.
Actually, no, like it's so crazy. After all these years, you'll think you'll get used to, you know, all of these type of
it's
stuff,
a lot.
But no, No. I can't believe that at midnight I have to. But I think it's also because, you know, we have our lives. Like, we're watching matches till 3-4 a.m. We have to wake up in 2 hours to go to work. So, but yeah, it is what it is.
It's mad.
We love the sport.
Indeed.
We love the craziness out of it. Like I said, I love chaos. but that could have actually even been the name of the episode if it was a new season. Who did? But I love chaos. But anyways, guys, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and please also comment, share, you know, whatever you agree on or disagree on, or your opinions.
Yeah, share your thoughts, man,
about. Share your thoughts as much as you can, and we will catch you in our next episode. Oh, and actually, stay tuned soon. We'll have our Hayley Baptiste interview available soon as well. Don't worry. That was great fun. Shout out to Coach Zach for hooking that up for us.
Yes, sir.
That was really cool of him. We didn't disturb him that much because he was driving, safety first. But yeah, shout out to him. Shout out to Hayley, and shout out to Whitney as well. Yeah, I think that was... Do you want to add anything?
No, that's it for me, Lucy. Thank you. Like you said, thanks for listening. And yeah, we will catch you on the next episode very, very soon. Mm-hmm.